It's Palm Sunday. We've already been worshipping and singing Hosanna. And Nick's going to come and share a Palm Sunday message. Andy Heaton's going to come and bring the Bible reading. Then Nick will share with us. So, yeah, thanks, Andy.
This morning's reading is taken from Matthew 21, and it's verses 1 to 11. So that's Matthew 21 and verses 1 to 11. Jesus' triumphant entry. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him, and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the centre of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, 'Praise God for the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in highest heaven!' The entire city of Jerusalem was in uproar as he entered. 'Who is this?' they asked. And the crowds replied, 'It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.'"
Thanks, Andy. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be back. Feels like ages since I was last here, so hope you all are having a great day. And today, I wanted to follow on, kind of from what Andrew just spoke about, and a bit of a challenge, because I want to look at inconvenience. Because a couple of weeks ago, my college home group, so those that are 16 to 18, we all meet together and study the Bible. And one evening, we were looking through the statements of the Creed to tie in with what we're looking at in the evening service. And I wasn't very good at planning Bible studies on the Creed, so I bought a book to help us through it. And the beginning of each week has a little icebreaker for us to discuss and start the session off. Anyway, this week had an icebreaker that wasn't breaking too much ice. So we began our study with the question, you've probably all heard of the Americanism, a convenience store. But what would an inconvenience store sell, or what would an inconvenience store look like? Now, inconvenience might mean to us some way to cause us trouble or difficulty to our own comfort, or to even bring difficult to our personal requirements. So I'll just give you a moment or two to think, what might that store sell? We had some great suggestions. How about frozen petrol? The only currency you can use is 1 and 2p's. Or they only accept notes, so you never get change. A store that sold everything out of season, so you get flip-flops in November, Christmas stuff in February, ski jackets in June. Individually wrapped Tic Tacs. Other stores that exist already, but I won't name. So when we look at this story in Matthew chapter 21, we can see that Jesus causes people to go out of their way. He causes this sense of discomfort in people's lives to the usual patterns that they are living. He sends his two disciples to go fetch a donkey with all only words to kind of plead their case. And those words are simply, "The Lord needs them." And that's all that these disciples needed. Why? Because Jesus has sent them on a message, on a journey, and he's given them a job to do. And we'll look at that a bit more in a bit. But then the second part is that Jesus enters Jerusalem on that donkey that his disciples got for him. And those people are inconvenienced as they spread out their jackets and palm branches on the floor for when he enters the city. And this is not like the disciples are asked to do something by Jesus. The people respond to him, not because they're asked, but they do it out of sense of praise. So there's two different groups of people that I want to look at this morning. And those are, firstly, the disciples, those two people that are sent by Jesus. And how do they respond to what Jesus asks of them? Well, firstly, they go willingly. They don't kind of argue, they go. They take God's Spirit with them. Jesus gives them these words that they can share with others that will help them in their task. And then finally, they act to fulfill prophecy. It has been spoken that Jesus will enter Jerusalem on a donkey. And so these two disciples act so that God might be glorified. So the disciples, they do work for Jesus. And they do it wholeheartedly. So the first part of this morning's message is that challenge. What work are you doing for Jesus? Are you being inconvenienced? Are you being pushed out of your comfort zone to do something for Jesus? What's he saying to you and asking you to do? And the second part is to look at the response of the people. Because they also respond in three ways. They stop their daily lives for whatever they might be doing. They stop it for Jesus. Secondly, they offer everything that they have to lay it down at his feet, to show that he is king of their people. And then finally, they bring shouts of praise. So the second group of people I want to look at this morning is those people that respond in praise. They still serve Jesus, but they do it in a way which refreshes them. So Jesus, this morning, he causes people to go out of their way. That's what we're going to look at. And this may seem to be an inconvenience to us. Jesus may seem to be an inconvenience to us. Is he? Well, I say, yeah, he better be. Otherwise, you're doing Christianity wrong. And so our first point, we're going to look at these three challenging aspects, these three things that should leave us going away, really reflecting on how this week can I serve more? How can I be like Christ more? Firstly, how can Jesus disrupt the regular patterns of our lives so that we might see his kingdom grow? And I've got to admit, this is a huge factor in my life. I find it really difficult. Because life in school means that everything is regimented. As a teacher, you have a life that becomes routine. There's hour lessons. I mean, mine are 50 minutes, but everything has its place. You know where you're going throughout the day and what you're doing. And there's a feeling that I've lived days several times before. I've taught the same subjects. I've seen the same pupils. I may have even said the same things or told the same kid off days upon days after one another, and it just seems repetitive. But I've recently used this situation for good because I'm also a year 11 form tutor, so they will be leaving in 5 weeks to do their GCSEs. And there's 15 minutes before the beginning of each day. So just before 9 o'clock, every form has 15 minutes where they can do homework or they can sit and relax. And I thought about how could I make this a time where they encounter Jesus. So we spend 5 weeks doing the 5 minutes doing the register. And then we take 10 minutes to stop and reflect and pray. And rather than sitting around and kind of wasting that time, we do something that brings us closer to God. We momentarily put everything aside, all the worries that day may bring, and I'll put a topic up on the board for us to reflect on and say a prayer. And for me, that 10 minutes where we just spend time with God, is the greatest start to my day. Because it gives me that chance to just lay any worries aside. And to say, I'm going to break that regular pattern of my life. I'm going to allow Jesus to invade my usual routine to bring something new and different. And so just as the disciples went without question at the command of Jesus, how might you respond to the call of Jesus to break that routine, to break that regularity of your life and let him in, let him do something new and different? And I admit that's a scary thought because we're all comfortable in routine. It's nice, it's safe. But who can honestly say that something great has come out of routine? Who has a great story to tell of the same thing happening over and over again? Other than Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. That's quite good. But Jesus does ask great things of us. He asks us to do more than we think that we're capable of. And that's the great thing. We see ourselves, when we push ourselves out of our routine, we see greater things happen. So may Jesus speak to you today and push you out of that routine. And may you go willingly. May you find something great in those moments, even though it might be scary. May he work through each one of us so that his spirit might go with you to help you in all that you do. And that leads us on to the second point, that Jesus only gives these disciples four words. The Lord needs them. And that's all the disciples need to take. God's spirit is with them in the task that they've been given. So whatever God has called you to do tomorrow, whatever your Monday morning looks like, and I want you to imagine that. What will you be like as you walk out of your front door? What will your face be like? Will it be a bit downcast and think, oh, another Monday morning? Will you open that front door with a heavy heart and step out into probably another rainy day? Or will you leave with a smile and a sense of challenge because God's spirit is with you? Whatever you have to face tomorrow, God is going with you. And if you arrive at work, or maybe you're spending the day at home, I hope that you can rejoice that God is going to do something great. Because when we open up our lives to him, when we take God's spirit with us wherever we go, exciting things happen. The gospel has a chance to be shared. As Andrew said, that small mustard seed can be planted and it might grow into a mighty tree. So I pray that you might learn from these disciples and take God's spirit with you. And why do you need to do that? Well, Jesus has said that he wants us all to go out and to share the good news about him. A few chapters before Matthew 21, in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus talks about the harvest. He says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And what he's talking about here is that there is loads of people that haven't heard about Jesus, or they've heard a distorted message about his love. There are thousands, millions of people that are not in the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, the few of us that know about him need to go out and share that great message. So just as the disciples move and go on their journey to fulfill prophecy, that is also our task too. Jesus has said that we need to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations. So are we going to fulfill that? Are we going to take up that role that Jesus has asked of us and spread the good news? If Jesus calls you to be a disciple and he says that you're a saint, how do you respond to that? If our Heavenly Father says, I will love you forever, how do you respond to that? And if the Holy Spirit promises to fill you, to refresh you and provide you with more life than you can have ever imagined, how do you respond to that? Jesus is asking each of you to serve him for his glory. I can't tell you what that looks like, but he's asking you to serve. And we heard before that this church is overflowing with people. How do you serve this community? Is there a new way? Is there a way that you could better serve the people here? That's something for us to think about. How can we reflect the disciples this morning as they went and served Jesus? Well, to help us with that, we can look at the way that the people respond. Because the disciples, they are doing work. They are serving. And so the first half of this message might feel quite heavy. You might think, I haven't got the time. My life has 1,001 other things that I could be doing right now. And you're asking me to do a bit more. So we notice that the streets of Jerusalem are filled with people to welcome Jesus in. The whole city was in uproar, we heard. Or the NLT says that the whole city was stirred. You see, you may have 1,001 other things. But people in this story stop their routine to celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. So do you stop to be with Jesus? How do you respond to him? Do you take breaks to regularly spend time with him? We're told in the Ten Commandments to have a Sabbath, to have a whole day that is holy and only for God. But do we really? Can we honestly say that our lives are so free that we can have a whole day of doing nothing but worshiping God? I'd love to have that as a part of my routine, but I don't every week have a day just with God. I do make time every morning to be with God, to spend time before I do anything. And I make notes of the things that I'm worried about. And I pray about those things that I might think are going to be difficult that day. And you know what? When they actually arrive, more often than not, I've got God's strength helping me through them. But today, I want to encourage you to find that space. Find that time to just be with Jesus. If you can have a whole day and keep it holy for him, then you go for it. Every credit to you. But even if you can just set aside 10 minutes every morning, pick up your Bible and pray and spend some time with God, may it leave you feeling refreshed and ready to do God's work. Not just for that day, but for that week and whatever he calls you to do. So do you stop, like the crowds, do you stop what you're doing and just spend time with Jesus? Because it's so important in how we refresh ourselves so that we can be like the disciples and do work. And next, what else do we notice about the people? Well, they lay their jackets and palm branches on the floor. They offer what they can, when they can. We read that most of the people spread their coats or palm branches on the ground for the donkey to walk over. And these people, they don't have all these things at their disposal. And sometimes we can reflect on our own lives and think, what do we have? We're already running at 200%. And God is asking more of us. And we take home those palm crosses because it's a reminder that our praise for Jesus comes through the story of the cross. What Jesus did for us was that he died so that we might be released from any wrongdoing, but also we would find favor with God. So this morning, may you recognize what gifts you have and what can you give to God? Because God simply says, offer what you can. These people didn't have loads of things to give to him. They lined the streets and they offered shouts of praise. You see, Jesus, he calls us not to be complacent in our Christian lives. There should be no moments where we feel comfortable but rather there should be moments where we rely on God with our whole mind, our whole strength, and our whole soul. And that's whether you're in a place where you're eager and ready to serve, then I urge you to go willingly. Take God's Spirit with you and make disciples of all nations. But you know what? Sometimes we come to church and we just need refreshment. We need God to fill us because our whole week has been so draining. And so may you this morning, if you're feeling spiritually weak, then I hope you find this morning a sense of joy in the response of the people, that they take time to stop and to be with Jesus, that they offer what they can and they bring shouts of joy. And when I was planning this message, I was thinking, how can I find a way to inspire? How can I find a way to show people who have been inconvenienced and actually God's love shines through them? So I wanted to show a short video of some Iraqi children that I saw. I apologize, it's all in Arabic, so you'll have to read subtitles. But I want you to reflect on how these people respond to the difficulties in their circumstances.
النهاردة يا أولاد إحنا هنيجي نزور مجموعة تانية من الأطفال في مكان اسمه عنكاوا مول. تعالوا ندخل جوه ونشوف الأولاد النهاردة عايشين إزاي. إزيك يا فلورين؟
مليحة.
إزيك يا مريوم؟
زينة.
أنت كويسة؟
يس.
طيب أنتوا لما بتفتكروا أيام كراكوش والوقت بتاع بيتكم، إيه أكتر حاجة بتزعلوا إن هي مش موجودة هنا دلوقتي؟
أنا نريد مدرستنا وكنيستنا. يسوع معانا أي مكان نروح، يسوع معانا هو.
يعني حتى هنا في المخيم يسوع معاكي؟
نعم.
يسوع فين؟
قلبنا.
طب واليسوع يبقى عايش في قلبه مش بيبقى بيضحك؟
ايه،
عشان كده انتوا بتضحكوا صح؟ ازيك يا مريم؟
زينة، انت كيفك؟
انا زي الفل. انت بتفرج عليه شيك فعلا؟
ايوه.
طب وايه رأيك؟ بتحبي البرنامج؟
ايوه.
حبي سات سيفن كيدز؟
ايه.
ايه اكتر حاجة انتي حاسة ان هي كنتي بتحبيها في كراكوش مش موجودة هنا دلوقتي في المخيم؟
كان عندنا بيت وكنا متونسين، بس يعني هنا ما متونسين، بس الحمد لله يعني الله سترنا.
قصدك ايه؟ يعني ايه الله سترنا؟
يعني الله حبنا وما قبل يعني يقتلونا داعش.
انتي حاسة بايه ناحية الناس اللي ممكن تبقى خرجتك من البيت وتعبتك؟
ما رح أسويهم ولا شيء، بس يعني أقول لله يسامحهم.
وأنت تقدري تسامحيهم كمان؟
أيوة.
كنت بتحبي المدرسة في كراكوش صح؟
أيوة، وكنت أولى دايما.
كان عندك صحاب كمان في المدرسة؟
أيوة.
مريم، أنت عارفة أن أنت بطلة؟
أنا أحب أكون بطلة، وأحب أيضا أكون بالمدرسة، لأن اللي بالمدرسة يحبون المدرسة، هم اللي كانوا يطلعون دائما أوائل.
أنت علمتيني حاجات كتير أوي.
شكرا. وأنت حتى علمتني.
علمتك إيه أنا؟
علمتني يعني ما علمتني يعني حسيت بمشاعري. حسيت بمشاعري، أنا كان عندي مشاعر وأريد يعني يعرفون الناس إيش هي مشاعر هذول الأطفال اللي هنا. حبي لفادي مجيد يوما فيا ومن سيزيد عمر جديد يوم سعيد يوم اتحاد بالحبيب.
So how greatly were these young people inconvenienced from their usual routine? But look how they used that to bring glory to Jesus. How they share their testimony that even though they faced hardship, they still have a love for Jesus and they can still find forgiveness in their hearts for those that have wronged them. So if people can go through such hardships and come out radiating God's love, aren't we capable of doing the same? So how can we respond this morning to the message that we've heard? Well, firstly, when God asks us to do something, let's go willingly. Jesus has said that the workers are few, but the harvest is great. There are millions of people out there that need to experience God's love. How can we share that with others this week? And don't feel like you're going alone. You will take God's Spirit with you. God will provide you with just what you need to share his love with the world. To go willingly, take God's Spirit with you and act that you might fulfill those words of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. So how are you going to work for God this week? How are you going to let him fill you up so that you can go out and spread his love? But also for those of us that may feel that all we ever do is work and all we ever do is feel drained, then I want you to remember to take time, take a break to be with Jesus, to refresh and recharge your batteries, to speak and be spoken to. Spend some time in the stillness and see how much it blesses you. The fifth thing is to offer what you can. Jesus won't ask you to do the impossible straight away, but he will train you for it. Offer what you can to serve him, and you might find that the size of service will increase. Like that story of the mustard seed, these things will start off small, but after a while, you will see that your service is like a huge mustard tree. But you will also find that as God asks more of you, so will his provision. God will be with you and will provide you with what you need. I mean, I used to be terrified of public speaking, and now I teach for a living, and it's all I ever do, speak to groups of people. But that didn't happen overnight. God has slowly molded me, he's slowly trained me, and he's slowly given me the gifts that I've needed when I've needed them. And so what gifts has God provided you with today? I'm going to pray about these things and the band are going to come up and then we're going to praise Jesus. But Heavenly loving Father, we thank you for this story, for this message of Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We thank you that you sent your son to us to be a living sacrifice for us. And we pray that we might be a community that responds to that. God, send us out to do work. Send us out to build your kingdom because it is the most important thing. Give us exactly what we need. Help us in all our difficult times and all our good times. Be with us. Strengthen us as a community. And may you speak to your people that we might act to fulfill prophecy. Bless us this week. Bless us in all that we do. Help us to have a great week because you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen. And the last point, obviously, is to bring songs of praise. We hear that the people shouted Hosanna to Jesus as he entered Jerusalem. And this is the best bit of our Christian lives. When we stop and reflect on how good God is, how can we not praise him? I don't know about you, but this is often the best part of my week. I find myself walking down the corridors on Monday mornings because I'm humming the songs that we sang on a Sunday and finding myself praising God just out of that familiarity of loving, worshiping him. Praising God always energizes me. It always allows me to express myself in my worship. And I hope that you get the same from that today too. So how about we praise God together?
Thanks, Nick. Should we stand? Let's just pick up that call to praise God this Palm Sunday morning.